ourselves to the teaching of God's word. Fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us?
Welcome to the Sustaining Word, a listener-supported teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Wisconsin. Join Pastor Joe Guglielmo for today's study from God's Word, the Bible. Stay tuned at the end of the broadcast for program ordering information.
And they're up here, and all of a sudden, you don't even see the front anymore. That's how low they are. And here they come up again. That's what Paul is talking about. These people are tossed to and fro by these winds of doctrine. Now we're up and down. That was a great one. Now it's not great anymore. And they tossed. And these guys come in and they use trickery. It's a Greek word that illustrates the idea of a person who has a skill in manipulating the dice. Oh, I'm going to get you. I'm going to trick you. There are people that are very good at that. A master of deception. And Christians love to hoist up their sails and be blown by these false doctrines. Why? I don't know. But they do. But if we're taking in healthy doctrine, sound doctrine, apply it to our lives, it helps us from being tossed to and fro by these men who are using trickery to deceive us. And yeah, they can use all kinds of big words in Greek and Hebrew, but it's empty. There's no life-giving water that's found in them. And that's the problem. Clouds without water carried about by the winds. If they're not bringing you to Jesus, something's wrong, right? Because it's all about him. If they're bringing you to themselves, that's wrong. Because they're not God. It's all about Jesus. Well, the third point that Jude brings out is that they are late autumn trees without fruit, twice dead, pulled up by the roots. Now, we're getting towards fall here, and in Wisconsin, we have a lot of apple trees, right? And this is the time of year, the trees are loaded with them. And man, a good apple, I love a good apple. But the fruit that's produced by these apostates, these false prophets are dead, they're rotten. No nutrients in them. That's going to help you to grow. They're not just dead, they're twice dead. They're not good. And the idea that these apostates are twice dead in the sense that they are spiritually dead and someday they're going to be judged and uprooted or removed from the earth through physical death. You know, Jesus warned us about false prophets in Matthew 7, verses 15 through 20. And again, you know, Matthew chapter 7 is one of those chapters that people who are doing something wrong or trying to promote a sin will go to, hey, brother, don't judge. Judge, lest not you be judged. So don't judge. And Jesus is talking about judging right here in Matthew chapter 7, verses 15 through 20. He says, beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Therefore, by their fruits you will know them. Again, there are false prophets out there deceiving the sheep, ravenous wolves that are dressed like sheep and trying to keep people out of the kingdom of God. And the thing is, you have to judge them. How? By the fruit they produced. What are they teaching? Is it in line with the Word of God? How are they living? Is it in line with the Word of God? If there's a pastor, he should be living according to God's Word. I'm not saying that we're perfect, because we're not. We're far from that. But if you are living an immoral lifestyle, something's wrong, and that's a red flag. And Jesus says, beware of them. Well, if I'm going to beware of them, that means I have to make a judgment upon them, right? I'm not judging their heart. I'm judging what they're teaching. In fact, in Jeremiah's day, there were false prophets all over the place. In Jeremiah 23, verses 16 through 17, It says, we're told, thus says the Lord of hosts, do not listen to the words of the prophets who prophesy to you. They make you worthless. They speak a vision of their own heart, not from the mouth of the Lord. They continually say to those who despise me, the Lord has said, you shall have peace. And to everyone who walks according to the dictates of his own heart, they say, no evil shall come upon you. Again, judgment was at the door for the southern kingdom of Judah. And these false prophets were saying, hey, don't worry about it. Everything is good. Life is going to be good. God would never judge us. Well, they didn't even worship the true and living God anymore. Every street corner had an idol on it in Jerusalem. And judgment was coming. But the people loved to hear these false prophets. Why? Because they tickled their ears. Oh, everything's going to be great. Everything's going to be fine. And it wasn't. Like Jesus said, by their fruits you will know them. And, you know, again, one of the big pushes today, and I'm not saying everyone who believes this is an apostate, but again, they're trying to get us to not trust God's word. But the big push is there's no rapture. Or we're going through a good portion of the tribulation period or part of the tribulation period or whatever. And here's the thing. Why is this so important? Why is the rapture so important? People will tell me, oh, you're just an escapist. Yeah, I do. I want to get out of here before God's wrath is poured out. Absolutely. I'm sorry. I'm not ashamed of that. But what's the reason for it? They take our hope away. That's the problem. They take our hope away. What did Paul say? Looking for the blessed hope of our great God and Savior, or a glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. There's our hope. We're waiting for him. If there's no rapture, you know who I'm waiting for? The Antichrist, because he's the next guy on the scene at the start of the tribulation period. Paul said, no, we are waiting for the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord for that, right? He's the next one on the time clock. And when the tribulation starts, who's the first person on the scene? When the first seal is open, the first person on the scene is the Antichrist. And if we were going through any part of the tribulation, Jesus would have said, hey, watch for the Antichrist, because after he comes, then I'm coming. No. That first seal is God's wrath that's being poured out upon a Christ-rejecting world, not upon his bride. I know this is kind of flippant, but Jesus doesn't beat up his bride before he marries her. Okay? I hope that makes sense, because that's really the tribulation period. It's God's wrath being poured out upon a Christ-rejecting world. We're taken out. When, I think it was with Japan had pulled all their political people out of countries before they did their bombing. They took them home. Before Christ pours out his wrath, he's going to take us home. So, yeah, I think it's important for us to understand that there's a lot of teaching that is not according to God's word that we have to hold on to. His return is our glorious hope. And for these apostates, they're like the Judas branch. They looked real, but they were not. They are late autumn trees without fruit, twice dead and pulled up by the roots. The fourth point that Jude makes regarding these apostates, these false teachers, is they are raging waters of the sea, foaming up their own shame. You know how the shoreline looks like, just Lake Michigan, you know, when the waves are coming in and it gets real murky, you know, all the sand and the dirt is being churned up and those blue waters are no longer blue. And you could see almost a line of demarcation in the water where you're getting closer to shore and it's all brown because of those raging waves. Well, what does that have to do with what Jude is saying? Well, these crashing waves that produce all this dirt and debris are like these men. Lots of churning, but what's left in the end is dirt, debris, leaves things murky and unclear. You know, Warren Wiersbe put it like this. He said, I personally do not enjoy being in or on the ocean. I'm not a good swimmer. However, I do enjoy sitting by the ocean and contemplating its grandeur and power. But I certainly would not want to be either in or on the ocean in a storm. There is great power in those waves, as many a mariner has discovered. But Jude compared the apostates to raging waves of the sea, not because of their power, but because of their pride and arrogant speech. their mouth speaketh great swelling words. Like the swelling of the sea, they make a lot of noise, but what do they produce? Have you ever walked along the beach the morning after a storm and seen the ugly refuse that has been deposited on the shore? The true teacher of the word bring up the treasures of the deep, but the false teachers produce only refuse. And what they boast about, they really ought to be ashamed of. Yeah, there's not a lot there. You know, several years ago, there was a pastor who was basically kicked out of a Calvary chapel out in California. He went to Illinois, and he tried to start a work out in Illinois. And it wasn't going that well. It wasn't growing. You know, it didn't have a lot of people attending. And that was a problem for him. So he came up here to Wisconsin. And I tried to warn people, said, don't support this work. A lot of the guys did. He was here for a very short period of time, caused a church split, caused a lot of division between close friends. He was here and he was gone. The debris, the dirt, the garbage that he left behind was horrible. We have to be careful, you know? I'll share this with you, and you kind of tell me what you get out of this. You know, it's kind of interesting, but I think you'll understand what he's saying. Well, maybe not, but we'll see. This is what he said. This is from Leonard Sweet several years back, but a Christian, very much into the New Age, but this is what he said. The first of these five unauthorized observations is that New Light embodiment means to be in connection and information with other Christians. Deeper feeling and higher relating go together. The church is fundamentally one being, one person, a communion whose cells are connected to one another within the information network called the Christ consciousness. New Lights offer up themselves as the cosmins of a mind of Christ consciousness. As a cosmin, incarnating the cells of a new body, New Lights will function as transitional vessels through which transforming energy can renew the divine image in the world, moving postmodern from one state of embodiment to another. Did you get that? If you did, please, afterwards, please help me to understand what he just said. I have no idea. I had Christians that would tell me, oh, you got to read this book. It's great. This guy is awesome. I actually had kicked one... No, I shouldn't say kicked. I removed one Calvary pastor from our radio station because of him supporting Leonard Sweet. He had a conference at his church, a worship conference, with Leonard Sweet teaching. And I called him up. He was in Israel, but so I talked to the guy who was in charge. And I said, I'm really concerned about you guys having Leonard Sweet teach. You know, he's into New Age, and I don't even think he's a Christian by what he says. And he says, oh, we let other organizations have conferences here, kind of like weddings and funerals. We let them have that here. And I said, well, I understand that, but your pastor is one of the speakers at this event that you said you're really not affiliated with. His picture is on the page for this conference. That didn't go over well. But sorry, Leonard Sweet's a false teacher. He's into New Age. That's what he talks about. The Christ consciousness, go read some, no, don't go read books on New Age, but that's the whole idea behind New Age. It's the Christ consciousness. You're getting in touch. Sounds so Christian, but it's not. It's New Age, mumbo jumbo. You know, it's interesting. Isaiah said in Isaiah 57, verses 20 and 21, but the wicked are like the troubled sea, when it cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt. There is no peace, says my God, for the wicked. Yeah. And there's no peace for those that adhere to these false teachings. Their faith is really muddied up. And, you know, I understand people say, well, you know, they do say things that are true. So why can't we listen to them? Why can't we read their books? There are some things that are true. I only have one comment for that. I know you're shocked. Only one? Yeah. Satan speaks a lot of truth and he just puts a little lie into it. You doubt that? Go read the story in Genesis. Has God indeed said, challenging God's word, you shall not surely die? Oh, really? There's no judgment for what I'm doing? No. You see, we need to be clear. Others will say, well, don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. You know my response to that. There's no baby in the bathwater. It's just dirty water. Don't take it in. Because are you going to be able to discern what is right and wrong? You got to be very careful. You got to be wise. So the raging waters of the sea foaming up their own shame. And lastly, the fifth point about these false teachers, these apostates, they are wandering stars for whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. You know, Jude sums up what they're like and where they're headed. And it's not good for these apostates. Jude says they're like wandering stars, some kind of luminous body. And he's not speaking of fixed stars. You know, stars are fixed. They don't move. And like the North Star, if the North Star moved, we'd be in trouble because sailors guide, I don't know if they still do, but they did guide themselves using the North Star. This is a shooting star. A shooting star is like a meteor that enters the Earth's atmosphere. It's kind of set on fire for a short period of time. Maybe you've seen them kind of shooting across the sky, and then they fizzle out. They're gone. And Jude nails the point here with these false teachers, these apostates. They come on the scene. They're very popular. Everyone is paying for their propaganda. And then, yeah, they were the latest and greatest, and then they're gone like a shooting star. I love watching fireworks. You know, when my kids were young, the best fireworks we ever saw was in Colorado. We were high up in the mountains, and man, I don't know why. It was just spectacular to see. And you know how fireworks go. You know, they shoot them up, and what do you hear? Oh, look, oh, everyone is just, and then what happens? They're gone. It's just a few seconds, and they're gone. Then another one, oh, look at that one. That is so great. And then they're gone. And they got to keep firing them, right? Because they fizzle out. You know, we see that many times with celebrities that are, you know, and I don't know if they're saved or not, but they say they're saved, and they're on the spotlight because they're celebrities. They're actually, if they're Christians, they're newborn babes in Christ. You don't put them on the stage. But that's what happens because they're celebrities and they just don't say things that are right and it doesn't end well. You know, these false teachers are wandering here and they're wandering there. And those who follow them are also wandering. They're just following along. We're not to follow these false teachers. We're to be rooted and grounded in the Word so we're not tossed into to and fro by them. Paul made an interesting point in 1 Corinthians 11:1. He said, imitate me. Oh, were they following Paul? Listen carefully, because it goes on. Just as I also imitate Christ. That's always the key. You follow me as long as I'm following Christ. If I'm not following Christ, forget about it, right? Amplified Bible, pattern yourself after me. Follow my example as I imitate and follow Christ, the Messiah. Living Bible, and you should follow my example just as I follow Christ. These false teachers are not following Christ. Just look at their lives. Don't follow them. They're like a wandering star. Their life has no stability, no commitment to Christ, and they'll never lead you to where you need to go. They're wandering stars. Where do we need to go? Jesus. It's simple. We make it so complicated. I don't understand the Bible. It's all about Jesus. It's as simple as that. The Bible is so simple that a child can understand it, right? I've heard kids from Vacation Bible School tell me the salvation message better than some pastors. But God's Word is so rich and deep that you could spend an entire lifetime studying it and you would never extract all that's in there. Because God's Word is living and it's powerful. And it will transform our lives. Are we willing to submit? Are we willing to allow God's word to draw us closer to him, which means conviction, means change on our part? For these apostates, these false teachers, the end of verse 13 here in Jude says that these wandering stars for whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. Think Jude is trying to make a point here? Absolutely. It's eternal. I know people believe that hell's not eternal, but darkness that's forever, what do you think that's about? It's speaking of eternal darkness. Unless they repent of their sins and receive Jesus as their Lord and Savior, they will die in their sins. They'll spend eternity in the lake of fire. Matthew 25:30, cast the unprofitable servant into the outer darkness, there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Mark 9:48, where their worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. Now, I don't want to gross you out here, but I will, just because I'll let you know what this is about. The worm speaks of maggots that feed on garbage and dead things. And these maggots will eternally feed upon the eternal bodies of those who have rejected Jesus. Oh, that's horrible. Yeah, that's why we tell people about Jesus. What do you think? The fire burning continually speaks of their eternal bodies being used for fuel for this fire to consume. Wow, not pretty, nor is it intended to be. But that's how it is outside of Christ. And why the blackness? Why the darkness? Jesus is light, right? God is light. There's no darkness in him at all. So you take God out of the picture. You take Jesus out of the picture. You have blackness, darkness. I don't know. I can't imagine what that was like. You know, I've been in some of these cave tours where, you know, you're in a big room down underground, and they say, okay, hold on to your loved ones because we're going to turn off all the lights. And it's going to get scary. You know, I'm a pretty tough guy. I'm thinking, come on, you know, I've been in a dark room before. It's not that bad. Those lights went out, and you're in the middle of this dark cave. I'm holding on to Julie. It's the weirdest feeling. You can't see your hand in front of you. That's how black it is in there. I can't imagine these explorers years ago that had lanterns would go into these caves. I'm like, are you crazy? But that's what it's pitch black. Why? Because they don't want God, and now God is gone from their lives. It says, Jesus said in Matthew 8:12, but the sons of the kingdom will be cast out into outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So these apostates, false teachers, they are wandering stars from whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. You think, how can anyone in their right mind follow them? Well, verse 16 tells us they mouth great swelling words, flatter people to gain advantage. There it is, right there. That's the problem. They use great swelling words, and they impress people by them. It's easy to fool people. I've seen it. I don't know if anyone, I've used this illustration before, but I've seen the show The Carbonaro Effect. He's a magician, and he's really a nice guy. He's really a good magician, but he's really a nice guy. But he could get you to believe something that is totally impossible. Something that is, there is no way it could ever happen, but he can get you to believe it. And people do. They're shocked by these things. Wow, can I get one of those? And it's like, there's no such thing. He's a magician, and he tricked you because of the speech he used and the trickery of his hands. That's what's going on here, guys. We have to earnestly contend for the faith that's been entrusted to us and not taken in by these imposters, these apostates. We have two more studies in Jude. We'll be looking at the coming judgment next week, and how do we keep ourselves from stumbling? For our last study. But here's the key in verse 21 of Jude. Keep yourself in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Keep your eyes focused upon Jesus. He's not going to lead you astray. He's going to keep you on course. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. And again, Lord, these are hard messages, because they're dealing with judgment and apostates and false teaching. But Lord, they're here for a reason, especially in the days we're living in. Because you said deception would be a big part of the last days, and we're seeing it. Deception on all levels. And we know the truth, and the truth can set us free from these lies that are out there. And we thank you for that, Lord. And I just pray for anyone here this morning, those listening on the radio, the internet, who may not know you, that, Lord, you'd be working on their hearts and softening it, that they would see that they need you, they need a Savior, they need Jesus. And, Lord, that they would repent of their sins and ask you to be Lord and Savior of their lives. And, Lord, for all of us, help us to draw close to you. We thank you and ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Devoting ourselves to the teaching of God's word, fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us as we feast on God's word?
That's all the time we have for today's teaching. If you would like a personal copy of this message, mention today's date when you contact us. Our mailing address is Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Post Office Box 224, Manitowoc, Wisconsin, 54221-0224. Our telephone number is area code 920-682-6163. Or visit us on the web at www.thesustainingword.com, where you can listen to past studies and review the study notes. It is the hope of Pastor Joe and the congregation of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, that you would grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Until next time, may the Lord nourish you with His sustaining word.